Welcome to Word Life Church. My name is Pastor Freddie Minifield. You know, I'm so excited that you joined us today. I don't believe it's a coincidence. One thing I know for sure is that the Word of God will make all the difference in your life. And the word you hear today is going to encourage you, it's going to challenge you, and it's going to impact your forever. So whatever you do, get all the distractions away, and you tune in and expect to hear from heaven. And after the message, don't go anywhere. I'd love the opportunity to pray with you on any needs that you may have in your house or your household. You know, there is no time, space, or distance in the spirit realm. You can be healed, delivered, saved right where you are. So stay tuned after the message. We'll see you then. We're continuing our series entitled Experiencing God. Before I continue, thank you for everybody who wished me a happy birthday. Thank you for the kind words and gifts and appreciation. I don't take it for granted. I truly am grateful for you being a part of my life and God allowing me to be a part of your life. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4 and 5 says, "And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Paul was sharing as he was teaching to the church of Corinth. And I love this because you and I must never get caught up in what man is doing or saying. It is not about the power or the wisdom of men. You and I must depend on the Spirit and the power of Almighty God. Amen? My objective is to represent the kingdom of God. I was listening to a friend of mine recently, and you know, as he was sharing, I thought, man, it seemed like there was a little bit of puffing up and pounding of the chest, and I thought, God, I don't ever come off like that. I don't ever want there to ever be an opportunity for flesh to show up, ready to be seen. So if you ever hear or see me doing anything that's pointing to me, you have the permission to give me some kind of signal. You know, do this. dial it down. Something, because that is never my intention. That is just not who I am. You know, and I've learned to accept who I am. You know, it's like, for example, my father is a master mechanic. I am not. I've learned to accept that. If you ever see me under a car, call 911. Because that's not right. That was not intentional. That is not who I am. And I'm okay with that. On a serious note, Word Life Church was founded on a couple key scriptures, Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, and also John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32. And God has called us as a church body to raise up, to make functional disciples of Jesus Christ. And that's what these two scriptures are talking about. Let's look at Matthew 28, 19. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the name of the Son and the name of the Holy Spirit." Now, let's flip over to John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32. I threw in verse 30 because I love how it demonstrates how faith comes. John 8, 30 starts off by saying, "As he spoke these words," this is Jesus, referring to Jesus, "as he spoke these words, many believed." Because faith comes by what? Faith comes by hearing. It goes on to say, Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him. Is this talking about everybody? Talking about, this scripture is referring to those who chose to believe. Then it goes on to say, if, you guys hear the condition in that? If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And then verse 32 says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Family, if you and I are going to walk in freedom, it's going to be because we know truth. It's going to be because we've chosen to stay the course. We've chosen to get with God and stay with God. The staying, we first and foremost, I make the comment, freedom is not free. We have to, first of all, have faith in God. Then we have to choose to stay in the Word. We have to choose that staying or that continuing in the Word is what makes us disciples, nothing else. And then our discipleship causes us to know truth, and it's that truth that causes us to walk in freedom. And the reason why this is so big on my heart is because only free people. You ever notice that hurt people have a tendency to hurt people? You know, it's so important that we get to the place that we are healthy, that we have the love of God on the inside of us, and we are made free because of the word of God that we know. So the automatic, the organic response is the people we come in contact with will become free also. That's what a healthy church looks like. It's not about praying a prayer. It's about living a life of freedom. Whatever, and settle this in your heart, whatever the price of freedom is, whatever the price that we're called to pay, to walk in freedom. And I'm not, this is not something that's theoretical. I know the difference of being in bondage and the difference of being free. And freedom is so much better. So much better when you and I have the opportunity to taste and see how good our God is. That's what it's about. Last week, we talked about relationship over religion. I'm going to review that real quick. We learned that experiencing God is having fruit of God at the end of you. Family, if people still see us when we're at the end of us, that's not a good thing. The fruit that we have should show up in our life, and that fruit should remain. And God shows us just how to do that. We said, and that was in John 15:4, we said experiencing God is when his name changes for you personally. We went through some different names of God, and I started to spend a bunch of time going through it, but I stopped because it doesn't matter the different names of God. What matters is what you say. What is he to you? There's a difference between him being a good God than him being my God. There's a difference between him being a savior than my savior, my healer, my deliverer. That is first and foremost. And that's what's called experiencing God. And when you and I experience God, the love of God not only goes in us, but it goes through us and it impacts everybody around us. And that's what it's about. We said that when you experience the impossible for yourself, that's experiencing God. We learned that in order to experience God, we must first and foremost live by the Word. We must choose to allow the Word of God to penetrate our hearts. You see, the Word of God is known as the incorruptible seed. That seed is going to do what it was sent out to do. The deciding factor is the type of soil that it's in. And when you and I choose to be good soil, the seed will absolutely produce a harvest that is incorruptible. You realize you can't separate the incorruptible seed from an incorruptible harvest? Because the word of God is incorruptible, what it produces is incorruptible. And you and I can choose to be good soil and have that show up in our lives. And that's what experiencing God is all about. We talked about giving ourselves to God for real. We looked at Galatians 2:20. And we looked at Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. And I made the statement, proper priority brings supernatural provision. That's what Matthew 6:33. You see, when we seek first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, it is going to produce supernatural fruit. God is always going to do his part. God is always going to uphold his end of the deal. True or not true? So very important we know and understand that. Let's go over to Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. Where are you guys going? Subtitle for today's message is Knowing is Growing. Knowing is Growing. I started to name it, Bro, It's Time to Grow. But I thought, I'll go with Knowing is Growing. But bro, it's time to grow. It has a ring to it, true? Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. God wants you to be free. God wants you and I to be free. Matthew 11, 28 says, come to me. Listen to this. God is inviting us. God is inviting you and I into what he's doing. God wants to do the heavy. Look at somebody and say, God wants to do the heavy lifting in your life. Let him do that. Matthew 11, 28 through 30 says, come to me all. You qualify for that, right? Come to me all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. God, you and I, we are not supposed to do the heavy lifting. We are not supposed to be wringing our hands, staying up all night, trying to figure out what to do. Word of God says he never sleeps or slumber. One of us should get some sleep. It's not right. Insomnia, anxiety, stress, and pressure, that is not of God. His intent is for you and I to come to him and allow him to do the heavy lifting. He's inviting us to do just that. It also goes on to say God desires for you to have peace. You know, that's probably the most sought out after thing for people. If people could just get some. Just get a little rest. He'll do just that. You know, your emotions don't have to move you into a negative direction. You could really receive from God. You can really receive his yoke-destroying, burden-removing anointing in your life and be the better because of it. God wants you to have a sound mind. He wants to bless you far beyond your imagination. Let's go over to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. God desires to bless you. He desires to supersede your expectation. You know, so powerful, it doesn't matter what you can dream up. God's intent is more than that. It doesn't matter. Your thoughts and your ways are always going to be less than God. He is always going to want more for you. Galatians 5 and 1 says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us, what's it say? We're created. And do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. God desires for you and I to walk in freedom. What is your heart's desire? What would you ask God for? What would you do if you knew you would be successful? That's such a valid question. It is such, you know, God wants to shower you and I with grace and peace. That's what he does. He wants to show himself strong in your life. Let's flip over to 2 Peter chapter 1. God wants to show himself strong in your life. He wants to take what you're dreaming about, give you that, and everything else he has. The grace of God will not only restore you, it will prevent you from falling back into the same trap. You know, there's two sides of the grace of God. The grace of God is not just for the oops, my bad, my fault, Dad, I'll get it together. The grace of God has the power in it to keep you and I from falling into the traps of the enemy. That preventative side of grace is what really multiplies peace in our lives. Let's look at that scripture. 2 Peter 1, 2 through 4 says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord as divine power. His divine power has given to us some things. Wrap our heads around this. In him, there is nothing missing. His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Isn't God good to give us a way out? You know, receiving knowledge of him is going to cost you something. Receiving knowledge of who God is going to cost you something. Can I just break that to you softly? Every relationship that you have, every good quality relationship you have costed you something. You know the number one thing that it costs? Time. Every relationship that you've developed has been developed over time. Is it wrong for us to think different about God? Won't it cost us time? Won't it require you and I investing time? How many of you want God to be your best relationship? You know, that's a tough scenario, because that requires really walking by faith. Because when you're hurting, you have somebody tangible you can touch and go to and cry on their shoulder. That's the knee-jerk reaction. That's simple. It's simple to go to your best friend, to your loved one, it's simple. It requires faith, trust, and reliance on someone you can't see. And what he wants from us is for us to trust him over our loved one. Trust, you know what? It'll make every relationship we have better. When God is our priority, when he is first and foremost, every relationship that we have gets an upgrade. Every one of them is so important. That investment of time, getting to know God, will result in exceedingly great and precious promises. To be clear, we're not talking about our idea of exceeding promises. We're talking about his. And because his ways and thoughts are higher than our ways, it will always supersede our expectations. Why did he put exceedingly great and precious promises in there. You understand that's his perspective? It's more than you can imagine. Being a partaker of God's divine nature comes by way of precious promises. Those exceedingly great and precious promises are the key to you and I escaping corruption of this world. Now, when we get to the point where we understand and we know the exceeding great and precious promises, and we can experience God's goodness, the lust and the corruption of this world grows dim. It gets less and less attractive. When you really taste and see, when I really taste and see the goodness of God, it changes everything. All of a sudden, you would rather spend time with him. All of a sudden, you'd rather spend your day listening to your dad. The corruption that is in this world through lust. You see, lust always looks to corrupt us. God's already made a way for you and I to escape. The great and precious promises will far outweigh the lust that leads to corruption. You see, I like to say it like this: there is no high like the Most High. Truth. I've tried it all. He wins it out. He wins every single time. You know, I made the statement before, I don't look like what I've been through. I really mean that. You know, God is real. He's not a figment of your imagination. And I was going to hell with a full tank of gas, feeding. And because of a praying mother, because of a mother just refused to let me go to hell, I'm standing before you. I know that there's a God. And when you have whenever it comes to witnessing, you don't have to know a bunch of scriptures. You don't have to know the Bible frontward and backwards. How many of you have a testimony? You know, that testimony is your testimony, and nobody can take that from you. No one knows your testimony better than you do. And when you share what God has done for you, something's going on there. That's real. And instead of stumbling over a scripture, how about allowing your life to be the testimony of God's goodness? Some of y'all don't look like what you've been through. Some of y'all are living in the goodness and the grace of God. Amen? Let's go to Galatians chapter 4 and verse 1. You know, growth is required if you and I are going to experience God. It is absolutely required. Galatians chapter 4 verse 1 says, "Now, I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave." Some translations say servant. "Though he is master of all." Growth, absolutely key for you and I to experience God. The Young's literal translation says it like this: "And I say, a long time as the heir is a babe, he differs nothing from a servant, being Lord of all." Why is that scripture so key? Because you and I can be Lord of all and not benefit from it if we are still babes. If we don't grow, we can have it all. We can own it all, be lords of all, and not benefit from it. If a child gets an inheritance, let's say a car, a child gets a car inherited, and they're 5 years old. They're not going to experience that car. True or not true? If we don't grow spiritually, there are things that Jesus died for that we won't partake in. Is growing important? Absolutely. And that's what this scripture is talking about. Growth is required for you and I to truly experience God. Look at your neighbor and say, bro, it's time to grow. or sis, it's time to grow. You know why? Because not growing means not inheriting. How sad would that be for God's children to not inherit what Jesus died for? As long as you're a child in the things of God, you'll be a servant, not an heir. God's intent is for you and I to benefit from all that. How many of you want to benefit from it? I mean, how many of you want it all? That's my heart's cry. Do you realize you're supposed to run the family business? If you said yes to Jesus, you are now child of God. You've inherited the kingdom of God, and you're supposed to run the family business. That's what John 14:12 is all about. You and I are supposed to do the works that Jesus did and greater works. Do you realize the greater works are in the hands of the children? We're supposed to take it, we're supposed to grab hold of and continue the work of the Messiah. That doesn't happen if we're 5 years old. In order to walk into our inheritance, it is crucial that you and I grow in the things of God. You know, a lack of the word will stun your growth. Allowing other things to creep in will stun your growth. If we really think about it, what valuable. If we were to get to the point where we took Matthew 6:33 to heart, every one of us would lack nothing. You know why? Because God's word is not going to return void. God is not going to be mocked. God is going to do exactly what he said he'll do in his word. But it's easy to get impatient. It's easy to dig up the seed. What's going on down there? It's easy to not wait on him. But family, when we do, every single time. Realize, none of us would have a testimony without a test. You know, we can't even trust a faith that hasn't been tested. If you've never had to depend on God, your faith, you can't even trust the foundation you're walking on if you haven't proven out the word of God. Am I telling the truth? It is absolutely the truth. Let's go to 1 Peter 2:2. A lack of word will stun your growth. That's not a good thing when you're supposed to be master of all. Damn, that is not okay. When Jesus paid the highest price possible for you and I. We all start off as newborn babes. No, there's nothing wrong with that. We all start off as brand new babes. But shame on us. Look at 1 Peter 2:2. It says, as newborn babes, desire pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. it God's desire for you and I to grow? We're supposed to desire and receive the Word of God so we can grow because of the Word of God. You and I should be growing in the things of God. It's not okay to remain the same month after month. That is not okay. Desire to grow. What if we made God's Word our priority? What if we chose God's Word over every outlet? What if we chose God's Word over every social outlet? What if we chose God's voice over the voice of all of our friends and loved ones? You'd have a lot less stress in your life for sure. We wouldn't be mad and frustrated. We wouldn't be disappointed. We wouldn't be divided. Because God only has good things. All he has for you is good, encouraging, powerful, positive. Whereas you realize we can do that. Every time we open our eyes, we can launch our day with hope, love, joy, peace. Every one of us, we have the opportunity to decide how our day starts. Every one of us. And reflect on the goodness of God instead of the deeds of the task of the day or what someone did, didn't do, said, didn't say. Every one of us can choose to meditate on the good things. True or not true? It's important that we know and understand that you and I should be growing. We should be pressing forward because Jesus died for you and I to master all. Look at your neighbor and say, now is not the time to get sleepy. Tell them your inheritance is at stake. Let's go to Romans chapter 5 and verse 17. Your inheritance is in the hinges right now. Romans chapter 17, chapter 5, verse 17. When we believe in Jesus and receive his forgiveness, we became new creations. Your new DNA includes victory. And now you and I have the ability to rule and reign with Jesus. You and I are now partakers of God's divine nature. However, if we remain children, we miss out. Example, if you didn't grow in what you're proficient in, you wouldn't be doing it. True or not true? If you learn a new task, if you didn't learn it, you wouldn't be doing it. Your inheritance is to reign in life. Look at somebody and say, you're supposed to reign. You're supposed to. The price that was paid so that you and I would rule and reign in life. That's what Romans 5:17 is talking about. It says, for if by one man's offense death reigned through the one. I don't know where I came from. You know, the way I was raised, what I didn't get. My dad wasn't there. My mom wasn't there. So and so died. Most people stop. Most people put more faith in the fall than is in Christ. If we were to read on, look what it says. Much more. Those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, what's it say? Will reign in life through the one, Christ Jesus. You and I have what it takes to reign in life. We've been given a gift of righteousness that will allow us to reign in life. That is so important. You know, there are just too many believers that aren't reigning in life. You know some of them. Why? Not valuing the word. Not honoring the word. Not choosing the word over feelings, experience. Past faults and failures. But I don't feel like it. No one's talking about feelings right now. We're talking about the truth of the word of God. And the word of God is always going to outlast our feelings. Every one of us have been betrayed by emotions. Every one of us just knew we were making the right decision. We just knew he or she was the one. We just knew this was it. Jesus is the same. Yesterday, today. Family, we can count. Count on Jesus doing exactly what he says he'll do. Let God's promises affect you more than your past failures. Make the decision right now. You know, I'm gonna trust the promises of God over my past failures. Paul says, I'm gonna keep pressing. I'm gonna go forward. You know, God knows our future better than we know our past. Tap into what he is. Forsake your past. Turn your back on your past. Go forward in him so you can experience him. God desires for you and I to experience, to have a real relationship with him. Let God's promises affect you. If you said yes to Jesus, you are destined to reign. What prevents us from growing? First thing is shadow boxing. You're never going to win a prize, shadow boxing. You're never going to be victorious, shadow boxing. You'll wear yourself out, work up a sweat. We shadow box when we don't understand. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Your boss, your neighbor, your relatives are not the enemy. The spirits behind them are the ones that are coming against you. And if we spend our efforts and energy fighting flesh, it's like we're shadow boxing. Our victory is going to be in the spiritual realm. Your authority is in the spiritual realm. Do you realize that nothing and stand up against what you have? Because you have the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the Spirit of God dwelling on the inside of you, everything is subject to your voice. But if we waste our time and energy shadow boxing and not speaking to the atmosphere, it prevents us from growing. You know, I always teach in fitness, time under tension, growth. More time you spend with that muscle under tension, the more that muscle responds and grows. Same is true in the spirit realm. You can't trust a faith that hasn't been tested. If you are not spending time under tension, pressing forward, standing when you run out of ideas, when you don't know what else to do and you continue standing, that is time, that is tension, that is pressure, and the end result of that. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. We'll look at verses 12 through 16. We'll put it on the screen and we'll have all y'all read. Looking at me. Y'all participate. Get involved. If you want to. I'm a reasonable man. Another thing that hinders us from growing is not using the whole armor of God. Do you realize every time we get offended, it's because we didn't raise the shield of faith? Every time we get stuck with a fiery dart, it's because our shield is down. We have been equipped with the tools necessary to quench all the fiery darts. You've been equipped with what it takes to never be hit by a fiery dart. All you gotta do is this. Raise up the shield of faith. What requires us doing it? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Ready? Read. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Read on. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you are may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Verse 14. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Verse 15. And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Verse 16. And above all. Why? Because if you're being bombarded by fiery darts, you're not doing any of the others. Every attack of the enemy, you can prevent. We're not supposed to be living a reactive life. We're supposed to be living a proactive life. That happens when you and I utilize the gifts and tools that God has given us. Look at somebody and say, raise up your shield. Raise it up. How do you do that? By saying something. Because faith comes how? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. So when you and I hear the word of God, when we speak the word of God, we are utilizing our shield. If your shield is down, you're not reigning in life. The faith shield comes by hearing. It's utilized by saying. The proof text for that is Mark chapter 11, verse 23 and 24. Let's go there. It's utilized by saying. Your voice raises your shield of faith. Mark chapter 11, verse 23 and 24. It says, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to whatever is coming against you, whoever speaks to whatever issue pops up between you and the precious promises, understand that. Anything that tries to prevent the precious promises from being a reality in your life is a mountain that you have the power to speak to. He goes on to say, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not have doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. The having whatever we says starts with us believing enough to do something about it. Your faith requires action. Your faith requires you doing something. My faith requires me doing something. If you want to see a major shift in your life, it's going to be because you start shifting the way you speak. That's what's going to cause it to manifest in your life. You know, the next time you or I begin to say something like, God, how could you let this happen in my life? The challenge is, what are you saying about it? What are you saying about the things you don't like in your life? Are you agreeing with them? Are you rehearsing them? Are you manifesting them? Are you telling everybody you know so everybody's in an uproar and there's chaos? Or are you speaking to it? Are you using your authority to speak to what's not right? What do you want to see manifest in your life? The other thing that prevents you and I from growing is not acting on the word of God. How should we act? First and foremost, we should speak to whatever mountain. We should deny doubt access. This is all in Matthew 11 or Mark 11, 23 and 24. First thing, speak to the mountain. Second thing, deny doubt access to my heart. You don't have to have doubt in your heart. You can choose to guard your heart and not give it access. The next thing is, see it done when I pray. I'm reminded of Dodie Osteen. And in her book, she talked about how she seen herself whole. Cancer, stage 4 cancer, and they gave her up to die. She had a couple weeks there to just get your affairs in order. And she said, nope, I'm gonna depend on the word of God. And the difference was, saw herself doing what she did, got the bad report. It matters what we see when we pray. And the last thing is, we'll have what we see. Our eyes were closed. Amen? My saying must be proactive. If, listen to this. If all of my saying is in response to what's happening to me, I'm not reigning in life. Your saying should be happening to your life. Amen. Your saying should be happening in your life. Don't allow circumstance to dictate to you your stance, your victory. How you doing? Oh, I'm doing pretty good under the circumstance. You don't belong under any circumstance. You don't belong under any situation. You are the body of Christ. Raise your hand if you say yes to Jesus. You are the body of Christ. Jesus is our head. Everything that's under our feet, we have authority over. True or not true? Isn't that what he says? He's our head. He's our lordship. He's our guidance. And we're his body. And the enemy is under our feet. Why are you having a conversation with someone under your feet? Why would you run for someone under your feet? Why would you be concerned with someone under your feet? Why would you give someone under your feet credit for ruining your day? Family, our authority is ours for the taking. But we have to take it. We have to grab hold of it. My saying must be proactive. When you wake up in the morning, you should say something about how you want your day to turn out. Carolyn and I, we wake up and we say, every day is a receiving day. Something good is going to happen to me. Favor has already gone before me. Goodness and mercy is running me down. It's going to overwhelm me today. You too? Yep, me too. We have that authority, family. Expect good things to overtake you. Expect good things to show up in your life. How do we do this? How do we continue to grow? In application, let's wrap this up. How do we do it? How do we grow or continue to grow? Get our notes out. What does number one say? Know my proper position. My God, this is so key. I'm not supposed to. Okay, first of all, let me ask you this. Where are you seated? In heavenly places. Good answer. Good job, class. You and I are never supposed to pray up in hope. You're never supposed to pray up in hope. We're supposed to pray down in faith. Because of our ascended being, it's a paradigm shift. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're not supposed to be trying to get to heaven. We're supposed to be bringing heaven to earth. That's our rightful position. That's kingdom living. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. Let's go there. That's the proof text to that statement. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18 through 22 says, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of his inheritance in the saints." Family, don't miss that. It's his calling. It's his inheritance in us. You and I are saints. We are the saints that is being talked about in Ephesians. It goes on to say in verse 19, "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us?" You and I have the ability to walk. About him, not us. All we have to do is be yielded vessels, committed to him, his way of doing things. According to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality, every evil force that ever comes against you is subject to you. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his and gave him head, gave him to be head over all things to the church. Dear God, we are supposed to reign. Be on top, above only. Not beneath. It's a thing. Part of the Bible that will ever work for us. Part that we believe. We have to believe for us. We have to settle that. This is my love letter from my Creator. The power that is now working in us is the same power that raised Jesus. That Jesus raised from the dead. That power resides in you because of your ongoing, because of what you say, that same power will be effective in your life. We'll experience God when we know and understand what he invested on the inside of us. We lack nothing. Number two says what? By my authority. Proof text is Luke 10:19. Delegated authority has been given to us over the works of the enemy. And Paul was praying that our eyes are open. Paul was like, open their eyes. Let them know and understand. Let them see what they really have. No, it is up to you, Andy, where you go from here. God has not only given you the authority, He's given you the vision to do exactly what He wants you to do. And as you step out and trust Him enough and not be concerned with the situations and the circumstances, God's going to make it so in your life. Whatever you do, don't hesitate. Hesitate gives territory to the enemy. Begin to step out on the things that God has planted in your heart to do. Don't allow the enemy to walk in His goodness. We have to apply our authority. Christ is the head, and we are the church. We are not called. We're called to allow Jesus Christ to lead our lives, and He will do it in an amazing way if we allow Him to. Number three says what? Understand that attacks happen in war. Isaiah 54:17 says this. It says, no weapon, let's read that together. Ready, read. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. Now, no weapon formed against you shall prosper is not the same as no weapon. It doesn't say that there won't be weapons formed against you. It simply says those weapons that are formed against you are not going to prosper in your life. It's important to understand that attacks happen in war. And sometimes we get it twisted and we think we're supposed to be on a cruise ship instead of a battleship. We are at war. There is a real enemy of our soul. So don't allow the fact that an attack came to throw us off course. Just stand on the truth of the Word of God and say, yes, this attack is happening, but dear God, I know and understand that it will not prosper against me. And you can stand confidently knowing that the Word of God is going to supersede and stand up against every attack of the enemy. We have to know attacks happen. We have to know and understand that. What's the next one saying? Use what we have. John 10:10 says, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. Again, it's so easy to stop right there. Oh, the enemy is beating me up. Dear God, the enemy, you got me on the run, girl. Woo, dear God, the enemy is just chasing me down. Oh, that enemy, he acting up today. Oh, that's, we got to read on. What's it say? It says, I have come that they may have life, and they may have it more abundantly. Abundant life. Promise of the Word of God is you will have abundant life. Abundant life has already been given to you. Abundant life, but here's the deal. It'll lie dormant if you don't apply the precious promises of God's Word. It'd be like the keys to that car that five-year-old has already inherited, bought and paid for, done. But if we remain babes, we don't inherit the promise. Last but not least, what's it say? stay proactive. No, not on my watch. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Oh, no, sickness, you are trespassing. I am healed in the name of Jesus. Be proactive. I am above only and not beneath. Who is in here that needs a financial breakthrough? In here that needs a financial breakthrough? Somebody go get the that financial key off of my desk. Whoever has my keys, that book, Financial Keys. The Lord told me to do that before I started, and I forgot. Let's pray. Anybody else need a financial breakthrough? I'm supposed to sow a book in your life. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your holy written word. Thank you for grace deposits and truth impartation. Father, thank you for your anointing that destroys every yoke. Thank you for every burden being shattered by the power of truth. Father, we thank you for the incorruptible seed. I pray that hearts are made pliable to receive your holy written word. I thank you that you are ministering to the young lady who is here, whose heart has been broken. I thank you, Lord, that you show yourself strong on her behalf. Show her that you have not forsaken her. You have not turned your back on her. She's been disappointed because people have been hypocritical. Show her that they don't represent you. Touch her now. It's not a coincidence that you begin to move this way. I thank you that you illuminate the times when you showed yourself in her life. I thank you, Lord, for the gentleman who's been hurting because of the gap between him and his father. I'm asking you, Lord, to minister to his need. Show him you could be a better father, an always there father. I thank you that mending begins to take place now. Thank you, Lord. I pray for that broken marriage that is hanging by a thread. I pray that you begin to minister to each individual heart. Father, show him that you're the answer. Thank you, Lord. We give you all the praise, glory, and honor for truth. We thank you for the gifts of the Spirit. Thank you for words of wisdom, words of knowledge. We thank you, Lord, for your Spirit, and we trust you, Lord. We don't look to, lean to our own understanding over our trust in you. We choose to trust you. Wasn't that a powerful message? Isn't God good? You know, one thing I know for sure, the Word of God never returns void. It's always going to do what it's supposed to do. So here's your challenge. apply the word of God that you heard today. If this message has been a blessing to you in any way, I'm encouraging you to consider sowing a seed. You know, here at Word Life, we're seeing lives transform. We're seeing people saved, healed, delivered. And that happens through partnerships. So we welcome your partnership if you feel led to come and be a part of what God is doing here. If you have any prayer requests, let us know. We would love the opportunity. I'm going to pray for everybody here in a second. But if you have anything specific, let us know. We would love the opportunity to partner with you in prayer. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for each and every viewer. Father, I add my faith to their faith right now. In the name of Jesus, I speak blessings over their lives, over their children, over their households. I boldly declare that they are above only and not beneath. They are the head and not the tail, and they walk in victory in Jesus' name. God bless you. We love you. We'll see you next time. Thank you.